There's something you should know about modern day Christian thought. Number one, Jesus wasn't born on Christmas. The Bible never mentions the exact birthday of Jesus. The first official mention of December 25th as a holiday honoring Jesus' birthday appears in an early Roman calendar from 336 AD. Where did all this Christmassy stuff come from? Well, when church officials settled on December 25th at the end of the 3rd century, they likely wanted the date to coincide with existing pagan festivals honoring Saturn, the Roman god of agriculture, and Mithra, the Persian god of light. Does it make sense that Jesus, who came to eradicate paganism, would be pleased with his holy birth being attributed to an essentially pagan festivity? The Bible says no. I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. They were commanded not to follow what those pagans follow. The Bible says, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. But is this not precisely what modern Christianity has done? After the Roman, Persian, pagan religions were nigh overcome, the supposed followers of Jesus said, how did these nations serve their gods? How did they worship? What were their sacred days like? How did they decorate things, etc.? I also will do likewise. The Bible says, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. The point is that if the roots of something are not divine, then the fruits will not be divine either. And then the Bible states, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. In Islam, we have a word to describe such deviant innovations, bid'ah, which is generally forbidden because, as we said, if the roots are not divine, neither will be the fruits. The Bible also says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. But hold on a second. If we Muslims are aware of the fact that Christmas, in reality, has nothing to do with Jesus and it's just a deviant innovation, how come Imam Khomeini gave gifts to the Christians during his exile to France? Well, because Islam doesn't teach us to go around saying, Christmas, bid'ah, haram, shirk, poo. No. The Holy Quran states, and do not dispute with the followers of the book, Christians and Jews, except by what is best. Number two, Jesus prayed to the one God. So should we. The Bible states, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. If you visit churches, you'll notice pictures and statues of Jesus all over the place. Those who say they are Christians will often kneel and pray using such images in order to get connected to the divine. But what does the Bible say about such practices? Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord. The Bible says, ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. They have no power. Only the one God has absolute power. Jesus didn't even like any kind of goodness to be attributed to himself. The Bible states, and behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he, Jesus, said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. Of the Ten Commandments, commandment number one, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any strange gods before me. Number three, the teachings of Jesus were all about modesty. The Bible states, I also want the women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes. When you think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, what comes to mind? Modesty, piety, dedication, and most evidently, her head's covered.
I see what you're trying to do here. The hijab is Muslim culture. It's never had anything to do with us.
Really? Let's rewind time a moment. Look at this. Only a few decades ago, most women did cover their hair. Where do you suppose this is around 100 years ago? Jerusalem al-Quds? Iran? Iraq? No. This is England. These aren't Muslims you're looking at. These are Christians. The Islamic concept of hijab is not only an Islamic concept, but rather every prophet came to guide human beings to the right path. The Bible says, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. Religious authority Pharisees among the Christians tried to do away with all these things. Oh, it was only for that time. Oh, it was just a tradition. Oh, it only means during prayers, etc. You did not keep to the commandments of the Bible. Well, look what society has now become. Today we see that those Christian nuns who wish to dedicate themselves do cover their heads. But now why should only a religious elite adopt the clothing of the Virgin Mary? Did the teachings of Jesus and Mary not come for all Christians? And the Bible says, judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Number 4. The Bible may have foretold of the coming of Prophet Muhammad. And Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus clearly informed his faithful followers to keep to the commandments, and that after him, God would send the Spirit of truth. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. It's clear that Jesus is telling his followers that someone is going to come after him, who will strengthen the message of God, and whose message will remain with you forever. Some attempt to explain this by saying that the Spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost. But this doesn't make sense for reasons previously mentioned. Watch the video, and this one too. Jesus clearly says that he has to leave in order for the comforter to come. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Bible also mentions that the Holy Spirit had already come. So who is this that can only come after Jesus leaves? If the Comforter refers to Prophet Muhammad, this makes sense, because he is the next major prophet after Prophet Jesus. Number 5. No, seriously, the Bible foretells of the coming of a great prophet like Muhammad. I will raise up from them a prophet like you, like Moses, from among their, Hebrews, brethren. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. The verse indicates that this great prophet will be from the brethren of the Hebrews. Prophet Abraham had two sons, Prophet Isaac and Prophet Ishmael. The Hebrews descended from Prophet Isaac. And guess who descended from Prophet Ishmael? The Arabs, particularly Prophet Muhammad, i.e. he was from among the brethren of the Hebrews. And this makes sense, because Prophet Muhammad would refer to Jesus as my brother Jesus. The Bible says, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir, and he shone forth from Mount Paran. The Lord coming from Mount Sinai is referring to the prophecy received by Moses in Egypt. The rising up or dawning from Seir is indicating Jesus. But what about the shining forth from Mount Paran? Where is Mount Paran? Mount Paran, or the desert of Paran, refers to where Ishmael, the son of Abraham, wandered with his mother Hagar, aka the lands of the Arabs, the Hijaz. Coincidentally, this is precisely where the Prophet Muhammad was born, and from where the teachings of Islam hail. This makes sense, because God sparked the divine mission with Moses, he caused the mission to dawn with Jesus, and it truly did shine forth through Muhammad. Number 6. One of the popular sayings from the Bible is that Jesus said that whoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. The promotion of this turn the other cheek policy has made many good Christians believe that they ought to be passive in the face of oppressors and those who do injustice. But this is not the way that Jesus was. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khamenei, has said, if Jesus were among us today, he would not spare even a single moment to fight the leaders of despotism and global arrogance. Nor would he tolerate hunger and wandering of millions of people, degenerated by the hegemonic and colonialist powers into war, corruption, and violence. Jesus followed the sacred path of all great prophets, and they were all revolutionaries.
No. Maybe your prophet was like that, but not ours. Confronting enemies, fighting back. No. Jesus was all about peace and loving their enemies.
Bible scholars will often quote this verse saying that Jesus said, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. And this may be true. In certain circumstances, the prophets advised against fighting the oppressors. Why do we ignore the fact that there were also circumstances in which Jesus pushed his followers to fight back? He said, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. Arm yourselves! The Bible also shows us that Jesus spoke out firmly against the wrongdoers. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? And he said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. They paint a picture as though Jesus was some kind of
hippie. God forbid. Jesus wasn't like that. He was a revolutionary who enjoined the good and forbade the evil in the firmest of ways, as much as his circumstances allowed. And he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send or bring peace, but a sword." Here it's clear that the sword signifies resistance against the evildoers. Jesus was clearly a courageous figure. Just as Islam teaches today, Jesus taught his followers to not be afraid of any of the oppressors and to only fear the one God. And he said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Number 7. Jesus kept to the commandments, so should we. Many preachers of Christianity push this idea that if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's it, you're good to go. All these laws and stuff, that's just for past generations. Just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whatever that means, and you're good to go. That's while Jesus says in the Bible, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Today, generally speaking, many Christians get drunk on Christmas. That's while the Bible has warned against it. It says, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do." For example, drunkenness. It also says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." It also says, "Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise." It also says, "Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery." While Christians know that this kind of behavior is against the teachings of Jesus and the Bible, many of them take these tremendous sins lightly. Why? Because they've been told that if they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, every sin suddenly becomes okay? That doesn't make sense. That is not following the teachings of Jesus, rather that is following your own thoughts. According to the Bible, those who follow their own thoughts and conjectures rather than the divine commandments are a rebellious people. "I have spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in the way which is not good, following their own thoughts. Those who eat swine's flesh and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots." Such people who follow their own lowly desires rather than the desires of God have been defined by the Bible itself as those who eat the flesh of pig. It also says, "And the pig, though it has a divided hoof, does not chew the cud, it is unclean for you." And again, "And the pig, because it parts the hoof, but does not chew the cud, is unclean for you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch." And yet, many Christian preachers will attempt to justify such unlawful actions as eating pork, as though accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior is enough. The divine laws don't matter anymore, as long as you love Jesus. But that's not loving Jesus. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commands." Keeping to the commands is actually loving Jesus. If anybody tries to say that the divine laws don't matter, that's not what Jesus said. He said, "For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Are Christians abiding by such laws? Or is it actually the Muslims who are abiding by such laws? While generally Christians have become relaxed when it comes to upholding such commandments. And Jesus says in the Bible, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Number 8. Many of those who preach the Bible don't always practice it. Children are being abused all over the world by those who claim to follow the Bible. In July 2014, Pope Francis declared that 8,000 Catholic clergy, including bishops and cardinals, were pedophiles. 8,000! On top of that, a lot of this abuse is homosexual in nature. According to the John Jay Report and Dr. Thomas Plant, 80-90% of abuse victims in the United States were male children. It's a horrible thing to think about, but we have to recognize that the devil really does exist, and we have to remember that these are just the cases that we hear about, because most of the time such crimes go unreported. Number 9. This is not Jesus. Jesus was from Palestine. That's that little place in the Middle East, aka West Asia. Now, Jesus says in the Bible that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, who were the neighbors of the land of Jesus? Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, and the Hejaz. What do these people look like? Not like this.
Often, popularized images are mere reflections of a people, and they will imagine the prophets and saints to have looked like themselves. Thus, in the Western world, predominantly we'll see a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white Jesus. Here's Japanese Jesus. Here's Indian Jesus. Here's Ethiopian Jesus. None of these are realistic. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Palestine, 10 kilometers south of the city of Jerusalem. He was a first century Palestinian. The Bible does indicate that his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. Number 10. Jesus will return, we must prepare for him. Muslims believe in the second coming of Christ, and that he will return along with the Mahdi to spread peace and justice across the planet. It is reported that Prophet Muhammad foretold that the Mahdi will turn to Jesus and say, "Go ahead and say the prayer." Jesus will say, "The prayer has been set up only for you." So Jesus will pray behind a man who is among my sons. Thus will they pray together, and together they will lead humanity to a bright and promising future. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. If you enjoyed this video, don't forget to leave a comment, share it with your friends. Merry Christmas.